So these three deities, Madan Mohan and Govinda and Gopinath, and Chaitanya Charitamrita says these are teen Prabhu. Teen Prabhu, these three are Prabhus, they are our masters, our lords, Madan Mohan, Govinda and Gopinath. The three are one, the one are three. Any deity that we're worshipping of Krishna, Radha, Masko, Ishvara, is there such a deity? There's Radha London Ishvara. There's no Radha Masko Ishvara? Not sure. That's the problem with Moscow, it's out of control. Moscow's problem, there's no control. It's out of control, there's no controller there. We have London, Ishvara. London's under control. We have Paris, Ishvara. Paris is under control. But New York, there's no New York Ishvara. New York is out of control. So these teen Prabhu, these three deities are the master. But actually, Krishna is only one. Krishna is one. Eko Bahusham. But he manifests three different aspects of himself. So anywhere where we're worshipping Krishna, Radha and Krishna, at one time in our devotional life, that deity, irregardless of his or their names, they manifest the potency of Madan Mohan at one time. And then the potency of Govinda Dev and Gopinath. Sometimes devotees think that you go to Madan Mohan and you pray for Sambandhagyan. And you go to Govinda Dev and you pray for Avideya. And you go to Gopinath and you pray for Prayojana. But you don't have to go anywhere. Wherever you have Radha and Krishna, you have Madan Mohan, Govinda and Gopinath. All three are there. When Advaita Acharya first uncovered this deity of Madan Gopal, the deity was resting in the Dwarasaditya Tila, which is that hill that it's large red sandstone temple of Madan Mohan is resting upon. It's called Dwarashaditya Tila. Dwarashaditya means 12 suns. It's 12 sun planets, 12 suryas. Aditya is a name for the sun. Aditya, Mitra, Arka, Surya. So many names for the sun planet are there. Bhaskar, Ravi. Many names for the sun planet. Because when Krishna was having pastimes here once in the bank of the Yamuna, and then he was playing with the coward boys, and they were playing ball. They had some ball they were throwing back and forth. And this was a ball that Krishna had just got on his birthday. And he only had it for a few days, so he's very attached to this new toy, this new ball. So they were playing it. Then one of the coward boys threw it in the Yamuna, threw the ball. And they started laughing, ha ha ha, Krishna, we threw your ball away. But Krishna was very attached to that ball, as children would be. So he jumped in the Yamuna to catch that ball. And the ball was going downstream and Krishna was going downstream. And it was like October or so, September, about a month or so after Krishna's birthday. Yamuna was somewhat cold. And then when Krishna climbed out of the water, he felt some cold. Because he was in the shadow. Because the sun was rising and there's a mountain. The mountain is here, the sun is rising. The sun is on the backside of the mountain, so shade is over here. So he was over here by the Yamuna. He was feeling chilled. So he's looking, oh, the sun is shining on top of that hill. So he climbed up to the hill. Now the sun planet saw, oh, here's an opportunity. Krishna's coming up to warm himself and bask himself in my warm rays. So the sun planet saw an opportunity to render service to Krishna. So the sun manifested, there's two ways it's told, but the sun called different suns from different universes. Every universe has a sun planet, every universe has a moon planet, and every universe has earth planet. And on the earth planet in every universe there's a Vrindavan. But one thing there's not, you won't find Russians in every material universe. And you won't find me in every material universe. At least I don't think so. I'm in this one, as far as I know. I've been in this one probably a long time. So 12 sun planets came from different universes and they collected on the top of this hill. And it was kind of like these health spas where you can go and get tanned. They have sun tanning lamps. You sit there and have a lamp here and here and here. And you can tan your backside and front side and all sides. You can get this heat lamps, tanning lamps. So Krishna was surrounded by these sun planets. And then he warmed up over there. So, and that hill where Krishna had this pastime, when Advaitacharya came to Vrindavan, he was on the bottom of that hill under a banyan tree on the bank of the Yamuna. And remember, banyan trees are for Bhagavatam. B for banyan, B for Bhagavatam. Banyan tree. So he was sitting under the banyan tree known as Vat, Advaita Vat. And he was chanting, and then he had some darshan. Madan Gopal appeared in his mind and said, "Oh, I'm in this hill. You please bring me out." So he found this beautiful deity at Madan Gopal. And when he left Vrindavan to join Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan mission in Mayapur, Navadvip, Advaitacharya, he left the deity in Mathura. And then later, Sanatana Goswami, he was doing Madhukari there at that house in Mathura. And that deity, Madan Gopal, he was in the backyard playing with that lady's, that Brahmani's son. They were playing and wrestling because Sanatan went to the temple when he begged some roti. She said, "Oh, you can take darshan of my Thakurji in our family temple." Sanatan Goswami went inside. He said, "Oh, I don't see you." He said, no, Gopal's there. He's in the temple. I have a deity of Gopal, Madan Gopal. And Sanatan Goswami went inside. "Maybe, I don't know. How is he, small deity? Or I can't see anything there. Can't see any Gopal." And she came, oh, he's out, he's not here. He must be in the backyard. Because oftentimes he's sometimes on the altar, sometimes he's in the backyard. He's playing with my son. "He's playing with your son?" "Yes, yes, maybe come tomorrow, maybe. I don't want to disturb them, they're playing now." So then, finally, another time he came, and so it's a long story, of course, as usual. But then this deity appeared in a dream to that Brahmani lady and also in his son, Sanatan Goswami. So he said, Madan Gopal said, "I want to go with that Baba to Vrindavan and I want to take seva from him." So then Sanatan went there and collected the deity. And then he gave it, the same deity, he gave the name Madan Mohan. And of course, the temple was made here. But that was only Madan Mohan. There was no Radharani. And then around the same time, Rupa Goswami, he was doing bhajan in Govindastali. Govindastali is the place of the evening yoga peet, where Radha and Krishna and the Brajagopis meet, and they have some preliminary worship, prem puja of Govindaji and Radharani before they commence the Rasalila. It's type of a way of honoring the divine couple. And there's a prayer written by Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami in that regard that everyone knows pretty well. Divyad Brindaranya Kalpa Jumada Srimad Ratnagara Simasanasto Srimad Srila Radha Govinda Devo Preshta Aliviv Sevyamano Smarami. Rupa Goswami is doing bhajan there. And then he discovered there in that area a Yogamaya deity. And he was worshipping Yogamaya. And then while he was worshipping Yogamaya, he was praying to Yogamaya that she would reveal the different places of pastimes. Because Bhajranab, 4,000 years before Rupa Goswami came here, 4,500 years, Bhajranab had established deities of Madan Mohan and Govindaji, Gopinath, Keshavji, and Dalji, and different Shilas. But they were hidden, they got lost, they became looped or hidden. So Rupa Goswami is praying, and then every day on that tila, where Govindastali is, there's a tila there, a little small hillock. There was one cow coming, and it would just stop, walk up to the top of the tila and stop, and automatically, without anyone drawing the milk would fall from the udder of the cow. Rupa Goswami, he was worshipping Yogamaya and seeing this. He was praying to Yogamaya, "Oh, Yogamaya, My brother Sanatan, he has discovered this Madan Mohan. But where is Govindaji? Where is Govindaji? Govindaji is our life and soul. So this cow is coming there, and Sanatan goes, Swami, what is this? A cow is coming. And every day we see this cow come there, do the same phenomenon, drop milk without any someone pulling. So then he went there. He saw some hole there, impression. And then in his meditation, he was inspired to dig in that hole. So he dug in that hole and he found Govindaji. Sri Govindadev Ki. Net Murti of Govindaji is in Jaipur. Has anyone seen that deity, Govindaji? Raise your hand if you've seen Govindaji. Many, many, many devotees have seen. We encourage everyone to go sometime and see Govindaji. Gopinath is there, Govindaji is there, Madan Mohan is somewhere else in Rajasthan, Karoli. Damodar is there, Vinod is there, Radha Madhav is there. It's a lot of wonderful forms of the Lord are there. So now Madan Mohan has appeared, Govindaji has appeared, they're being worshipped. And this news went to Puri, to the grandson of King Prataparudra. His name was Purushottam Jaina. He was hearing that actually Madan Mohan has no Radharani, and Govinda has no Radharani. And he was Vaishnava, obviously, son of Prataparudra. He was thinking, I would like to arrange to send Radharani to Vrindavan. So then he had one stapati, one artist carved two deities of Radharani, one for Madan Mohan, one for Govindaji. And those two deities arrived at the temple of Madan Mohan. And then they were going to give one deity to Madan Mohan and take the other Radharani deity to Govindaji. But then in a dream, to the head pujari, this Lalita Sakhi appeared in a dream. And she said, listen, Pujariji, there are two deities here that you think are Radharani, but the taller one is me, Lalita Sakhi. She's a little older, a little taller, and a little wiser than Radharani. She's Radharani's guru. Lita Devi is about almost a month older. She's 27 days older than Radharani, a little bit taller. So she said, listen, I'm actually, it wasn't Lita Sakhi, excuse me. Madan Mohan appeared in a dream to the pujari. He said, you think these two murtis are Radharani? Actually, the taller one is Lita Sakhi, and I want you to put her on my right-hand side. And the shorter one is Radharani, and I want you to put her on my left-hand side. This is my Lalita and my Radha. So then they did that. I mean, he did that. So now what to do? Now there's Madan Mohan has Radharani, but Govindaji has no Radharani. So it's, I don't know if I can remember all the details of the story, but the basic story is that the king was in some dilemma about this. Although he's very happy, Purushottam Jaina was very thrilled to hear the story of the two Radharani deities he sent. But he still had a strong desire to send a Radharani to accompany Govindaji. Then in a dream, Radhika appeared. And he said, listen, the deity in the Jagannath Mandir in Puri, there are many deities being worshipped there. There's deities of Bimala Devi, and Hanuman, and Ram, and Chaitanya, many different temples all around inside. So there's one place where they're worshipping a deity of Lakshmi, a golden deity of Lakshmi. So in a dream, that same deity appeared. He said, the deity being worshipped in Jagannath Mandir as Lakshmi Devi is actually me, Srimati Radhika. But no one knows this fact. So the point is, just as Sakshi Gopal was, there's a temple near Govindaji, it's broken down now, maybe gone now. That's where Sakshi Gopal was previously worshipped 400 years ago. And then he walked across India to witness for his Brahmin devotees. That story is there, Sakshi Gopal. He actually went to Vidyanagar. And from Vidyanagar, which is Andhra Pradesh, I suppose. And then he ended up in Puri, because that king was conquered by the Puri king. And he said, the best thing I want is your deity. So he took Sakshigopal to the Jagannath temple. Then there was a fight between Sakshigopal and Jagannath. Because Sakshigopal, as soon as they brought out the sweets for Jagannath, Sakshigopal would crawl over there and eat all the sweets. Just like Gopal does. He's always stealing yogurt and butter. So Jagannath complained to the head Vajari in a dream. He said, this little blue boy, Sakshigopal, you call him Sakshigopal, but I call him Chorgopal. You call him Sakshigopal because he witnessed. Sakshi means witness. He witnessed on behalf of his devotee to confirm the betrothal arrangement with the old Brahmin and his daughter in Vidyanagar. But now he's shifted over here to my temple, and I can't really consider him to be Sakshigopal. I call him Chorgopal. He steals every time I'm about to. I look at the sweets, and before I can even touch the sweets, he runs in and he starts eating them. So please take your Chorgopal and go somewhere else. So responding to the dream from Jagannath, the head Bajari and the king of Puri, they made a new temple for Sakshigopal about 8 kilometers north, because that'll take a long time for a baby to crawl 8 kilometers from that village down to Jagannath Puri. And by the time he gets there, Jagannath would have finished all his sweets. So Gopal figured that out also, because he's pretty smart. So he didn't venture forth to try to crawl down to Jagannath's mandir in the morning. He figured, I'll just stay here, and if anybody really believes in God, then maybe they'll offer me sweets over here. So that's what they do. They offer 5 offerings a day to Gopal and Sakshigopal. So in the same way, this deity of Radharani, this deity of Radhika, once Radhika came to Orissa from Vrindavan to bless a very faithful devotee of hers. This was a Brahmin living in a village with a very unusual name. The name of that village was Radha Nagar. Radha Nagar. Nagar means village, so it's a village of Radha. They're saying that once Radhika came to Orissa, this is how it's told in Bhakti Ratnakar. That's their very personal and individual viewpoint. But the fact is that a deity of Radharani was made in Vrindavan, and the deity was brought there and established in this man's house. But the writing is like this. So Brihad, this person's name is Brihad Banu. Like there's Vrishabhanu. Vrishabhanu is Radharani's eternal father. So this Brahmin's name, who was living in the village of Radha Nagar, was Brihad Banu. He accepted Radharani as his daughter. He loved Radhika so intensely, he considered a second without seeing Radharani like a millennium. Radha meant everything to him. Of course, when we're saying Radha, we mean the deity. But some people, some devotees, when they go in the temple, they go back and they tell their friend, oh, Krishnadas, did you see the deities? The devotee goes in the temple and he has darshan of Radha Shyam Sundar. And he goes back to the Brahmachari ashram and he asks his Brahmachari friend, oh, Krishnadas, did you see the deities? Or some people say deities, whatever. The Murtis, did you see? And then he says, no, I haven't seen. I'll go see. Then he goes and takes darshan. Then later he meets his friend, Chaitanya Das. He says, yes, I saw the deities. So that's the way some people look at the Murtis. But other people, they say, oh, they go to the temple, they see Radha and Krishna. They're not deities. They're not Murtis. This is Sakshat Radha. This is directly Radha and directly Krishna. Of course, that's a high vision due to purity of heart and mind and consciousness. So one person will come and say, oh, Radharani looks so beautiful. Shyam Sundari looks so beautiful. Now go back and say, did you see Radha Shyam today? Don't they look very beautiful? No, Radharani looks much more beautiful. It's very personal because their mood is that and they're feeling like that in the highest level of pure devotion. Then actually the deities speak with the devotee and even move and do different leelas with the devotees. Just like Sakshigopal walked across India for his devotee. So this Brihadbhanu, he was, the deity was not a deity, it was Sakshat Radharani. For us on the external physical level, it was actually a murti of Radharani. But he accepted this quote-unquote murti, this is Radharani. And he was in a mood of, she's my daughter. Because that's the mood of Brihadbhanu. Brihadbhanu's mood is that, his mood, and the fact is that Radharani's my daughter. Because Brihadbhanu is the father of Radharani. So Brihadbhanu, 400 years ago, in the village of Radhanagar, he had that same bhav, that same mood. She's my daughter. And he couldn't bear one second without seeing Radharani. So from hearing this story, we can derive some inspirational teaching that, oh, when will that day come? Kave have volo seidi namar. Aparada guchi shudanamaruchi. Aparada guchi shudanamaruchi. When will my offenses to the holy name cease? When will I stop making offenses to the holy name? And I'll start to honor all the living entities and serve the Vaishnavas with love and devotion and care and attention. Vaishnav Seva, Jiva Doya. And with Jiva Doya, when I show genuine love and compassion for the conditioned souls by preaching and helping them and assisting them in any way possible to become Krishna conscious, and I serve all the Vaishnavas as if I was serving God directly, seeing God in everyone's heart, in the heart of all the ladies and gentlemen, Matajis and Prabhujis, as we say, and seeing Krishna in their hearts, and I serve them with that understanding, that realization, that type of pure Vaishnav Seva, then what will happen as a result of those two activities? Then the holy name will be pleased with me and fill my heart with taste. It's called Namruchi. Jivadoya Vaishnav Seva Namruchi. So this type of ruchi comes. So he's seeing that he can't live a second. This Brihadbhanu can't live a second. So we can pray, when will that day come? When I have so much taste and so much attraction and attachment to the, quote, deities, that I don't see the deities as deities, I see Radha as Radha, and I see Sham as Sham, and I can't live for a minute without seeing them. Either I'm seeing them in my meditation, or I'm waiting to see them externally, or I'm trying to see them internally, and I'm just waiting for the next darshan. I remember when I was staying at Radha Damodar, there was one Bengali widow that lived in a neighborhood. And she came, every time the deities were giving darshan, deities, check it out. Every time Radha Damodar were giving darshan, she was there. As they opened for Mangalarti, she was there. And then they closed for Boga and she would go. And then they opened for Sringar Artik and she was there. And then stay for some time, then go. And then they closed. And every time. And I took note of this widow lady that very regular for darshan, very attached to darshan. And I always see from a distance, from Prabhupada's veranda. Then I thought, I was somehow compelled to go closer. So I said, because I never really noticed her face so much, this lady. So then I went and I stood at a distance. And I was just looking. And she would go very close and stand like this and look at Damodar with unblinking eyes. And all these two tears were going down her face like this. Going down her face. And she wasn't making any show. Look at me, I'm crying, you know, I'm a big devotee, this, that. Making some show. There's nobody there, because usually in those days there wasn't many people coming for darshan. And Radha Damodar was quite quiet times, 1989. Only in Kartik something. Just the pujari was off in the kitchen cooking the offering, which was Damodar, and she by herself, most of the time. And I noticed that every time she's taking darshan, she's like doing abhishek. She's doing Radha Damodar abhishek with her prema ashru, with her tears of devotion and love. Of course, this is a very powerful sight to behold. It creates a deep bhakti sanskara. To see bhakti in action, to see genuine expressions of bhakti, actually etches the mind, carves, or you can say engraving or etching or carves, engraves the mind with an impression that this is something real, this is something transcendental, this is something spiritual, this is something pure, this is something devotional. And those are all the things that we're aspiring to attain: purity, reality, spiritual existence, and pure devotion. So So there are pure devotees in Vrindavan, pure Vaishnavis and pure Vaishnavas. So anyway, back to Jagannath Puri, back to Radha Nagar. So Brihad Bhanu was like this. He can't live a second without seeing his Radharani Takarani. But time assails everyone. Time conquers everyone. Radharani meant everything to Brihad Bhanu. I wish this is some Bhakti Ratnakar writing about this great devotee, Brihad Bhanu, from Radha Nagar. Imagine if someone wrote your biography, Giridhari Das. Radharani meant everything to him. wouldn't everybody like to have a sentence like that in their biography? You write my biography. You know, fancy clothes meant everything to him. Prophet adoration and distinction meant everything to him. He always wanted to be in the front. He always wanted to be number one. He always wanted to be worshipped. It's a very nice biography, a biography of a materialist. Radharani meant everything to him. We read sentences like this from the Shastra and we think, oh, yes. Could I ever be like an amsha of an amsha of an amsha of an amsha of Brihad Bhanu, the great devotee, Brihad Bhanu? In his old age, Brihad Bhanu passed away. And then the king of Puri, doesn't say his name, whoever that was, he came to Radha Nagar to have darshan of this deity of Radharani, that because this devotee, Brihad Bhanu, became rather famous, because Radha Nagar is not so far from Puri. And the king of Puri, he was in charge of that village, he heard about this great devotee, because the news of bad things and good things, devotee news also spreads fast. So if someone is actually a very advanced and special devotee, then people understand. So you can't, it's like a trying to put the sun planet, keep the sun planet in a clay pot. If you have a clay pot, you can't contain the sun planet in a clay pot. So if someone is a pure devotee, and someone is purely worshipping their deities of Gauranitai, or Radha and Krishna or Jagannath, with genuine devotion, then Krishna will arrange. Krishna personally will arrange, despite all the desire not to have any name or fame, Krishna will arrange for that devotee to be known and understood all around the world. So Brihad Bhanu, the king heard about Brihad Bhanu, so he thought, if this devotee is so great, then this deity must be very special. So he came to Radha Nagar to have darshan. Then when he was staying in that village, he had lunch and he took a rest in the afternoon. In a dream, that deity of Radhika appeared to this king from Puri. He said, "Listen, king, take me immediately to the Jagannath temple and keep me there." So now, this king of Puri brought this deity of Radharani from Radha Nagar and put her in a temple, and she is being worshipped. But no one really knew the whole story, and as she was being worshipped, everyone thought that she was a Lakshmi deity. That's what I was saying. So they're worshipping her as Lakshmi Devi for many, many years. So because the worshippers and the pujaris were worshipping a deity of Radharani as Lakshmi, Radharani reciprocated with them as Lakshmi Devi. Because Radharani is the original Lakshmi. She's Adya Shri. Because the Lakshmis are only expansions of Radharani. So everyone's, in other words, Krishna says, as you worship me, I reciprocate accordingly. Yayatam mam prapadyante. So you worship me as Radharani, I reciprocate as Radharani. You worship me as Lakshmi, I reciprocate as Lakshmi. So she was reciprocating. Everybody was praying to her, oh, Dhanam Dehi, Janam Dehi, oh, Lakshmi Devi, doing Lakshmi Puja, and praying to Lakshmi, oh, give me more money. So, okay, take more money. She was reciprocating. That's what it means. Then, one day, Srimati Radharani decided to go to Vrindavan to be with Govindaji. Then she appeared. That's this king, Purushottam Jaina, that we're discussing. Then she appeared in his dream and said, "Listen, king, this deity in the temple that everyone's been worshipping as Lakshmi Devi is actually me. And I am Srimati Radharani, and I know you desired to arrange for a Radharani deity for Govindaji, as you arranged for two Radharanis for Madan Mohan. One turned out to be Lalita. But I am not Lakshmi Devi, I am actually Radharani. And I want to go to Vrindavan to be united with my eternal consort and Swami, Sri Krishna Govindaji. So then the king woke up from that dream and he made arrangements. He said, guess what, everybody? Lakshmi is going to Vrindavan and she's not going to Bailvan, because only about 10 minutes or 15 minutes behind her is Bailvan, where Lakshmi Devi is meditating. This Lakshmi Devi is Radharani, Sakshat. So he took Radharani on a chariot. It was all decorated very beautifully. And they had huge functions all the way from Jagannath Puri to Vrindavan. Every day was an utsav celebrating the Rath Yatra of Radharani. Radharani's Rath Yatra. Radharani comes back to Vrindavan. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. So Govindaji brought Radharani back to Vrindavan. Somehow Radharani went to Puri to feel some Viparlamba, because that's Viparlamba Kshetra. Puri is a place of separation. When one goes to Puri, one feels separation from Krishna, or Radharani in this case. So Govindaji called back Radharani from Puri, and that deity of Radharani that you see in Jaipur, that's the deity of the story. This is how the deities came to Vrindavan of Radharani, these two deities. And that's in Bhakti Ratnakar. It's a very interesting story. I'll conclude by saying this, that we were mentioning in Govardhan that Krishna has left. He returned to Vrindavan and took everything with him. People often ask, is this Nanda Maharaj's original palace? Is this Radharani's original palace? And the answer is no. This palace in Nandagram now that you see was redone about a year ago. 1 year ago, Nandagram, the palace of Krishna that was just built a year ago, all marble and all these things. So these buildings are only a couple hundred years old. They come and they go, they come and they go. The time factor breaks them down. So Krishna left, but he asked three personalities to stay in Vrindavan to bless all the devotees for some time. So the three personalities that are remaining here are Giridhari, Giriraj. Giriraj is Haridas Varya. He's the greatest devotee of the Lord. So he is residing in the middle of Brajamandal, like a beautiful tilak on the forehead of Krishna. And Giriraj is there. Then Yamuna Devi is here, flowing. Originally, Yamuna was flowing by Barsana. Was flowing down from Nandagram to Barsana to Govardhan, around Govardhan Hill and onto Vrindavan. In Krishna's time, the Yamuna was right next to Govardhan Hill. It's just like now. And 100 years ago, Yamuna was flowing by Keshiga. Now it's gone like this. And the Bhavishya Puran says that the Yamuna will disappear after 5,000 years of Kali Yuga. And the Ganga will disappear after 20. Maybe it's 10 and 15. Anyway, you can see practically Yamuna's already disappeared. But Yamuna, at this present moment, Yamuna's still here. And the Braja Raj is still here. The dust of Vrindavan. So we saw Giriraj. And we heard some glories of Giriraj. And we've been supported by the dust of Vrindavan every second that we're here. Every second of our stay in Vrindavan, we're being supported by the dust of Vrindavan. We're breathing the dust of Vrindavan. No shortage of that, I think you can appreciate. If you really want to get a lot of dust of Vrindavan, then we recommend that you get on a bus in front of the Krishna Balaram temple at about 6 o'clock in the morning and take that bus to Barsana. And then take the bus to Nandagram, then take the bus to Gokul, and take the bus to Govardhan, and you'll get lots of Brajaraj. Yeah. Lots of Brajaraj. Flying through the windows, it's so wonderful. The Jamuna is here, the Brajaraj is here, and Giriraj is here. So take advantage of all these wonderful personalities, because they won't be here for very long. and pray to these personalities and serve these personalities and take the association of these great personalities, Giriraj, Jamuna Maharani, and Brajarani, Brajarajarani. And by their mercy and the mercy of the holy name, we will attain the perfection of life, which is the eternal service of Radha Govinda and the prema kunjas of Braj. This is all we want, nothing more, nothing less. So thank you very much for giving us your kind attention and association. And I pray to Srila Prabhupada that all of you can attain full perfection in your spiritual endeavors. Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai. Radha Shama Sundara ki, Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Hey, Sham. Vansha Kapa Trivias Chat, Pita Sundar Vaiva Chat, Pita Nam Pavanivyo, Vaishnavyo. And, one last note: if we've made any knowingly or unknowingly offenses to anyone, by honeybees or by desert sands of the Govardhan Parikrama Marg, or hot burning stones in Barsana, and all these other special features of purification, and if you find me culpable or you want to blame me, then I accept the blame. It is all my fault. But I beg your forgiveness, and I know you're very kind-hearted Brahmins, and Brahmins always forgive the offenders. So I beg you all to please forgive me. These are technical situations beyond my control. I'm not in control of the bees or the hot stones or the sun planet. I can't even control my tongue. What to speak of the honeybees of Vrindavan? So please forgive me, and I hope everyone's recovered from all these calamities, and that you'll go on the road to pure devotion very fast. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.